This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albracht and Tommy Kester.
Happy Friday. Welcome into Sports Daily. Jacob Albracht, Jad Chambers, Tommy Kester with you on a Friday. We'll be joined a little later by Paul Savage, TJ Cleland, Brandon Zinner. It is a full house on a Friday. We'll make some football picks later in the show. We'll get you ready for it. A great Thursday night football game last night ending in controversy. And a Chiefs roster move breaking, I think, just in the last few minutes here. At least that's when I saw it, that we'll get to as well. It's an interesting morning. It's a Friday morning, and it's always fun. IHOP hotline's open for you, 869-1240. It's brought to you by IHOP. You can celebrate the weekdays with all new IHOP house faves, all your favorites for just $6 Monday through Friday. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
Happy Friday. Good to see you. Getting ready for a huge weekend. Sunflower Showdown, obviously, is always massive, and so that's going to be happening tomorrow, of course, in Manhattan. We'll preview all of that. Of course, the Chiefs in Vegas. Talk about that a lot, too. I'm excited for our Friday football picks next hour. I got to continue on that undefeated streak. So, you should have known that this was coming today, right? Like, I'm going to be talking about that a lot as the show goes on.
We'll be sure and talk about the overall standings, too, and humble ourselves. Because I think I had a week like that not too long ago. It's fine. It'll be good. Hey, if last night's game is an indication of things to come, we're going to make some money this week, if nothing else. Lots of points, lots of stats, lots of yards. That's always good for making money. And last night's game delivered on that. We'll get to Thursday night football here in just a little bit because, you know, being excited about it, all the things we kind of talked about yesterday sort of came true. And then there was controversy at the end for sure. But I want to start with something I saw literally right before we came on the air, Tommy. Field Yates of ESPN reporting at about 7 this morning that with cap space tight after the DeAndre Hopkins trade, the Chiefs restructured the contract of Juwan Taylor, converted some of the salary into a signing bonus that creates just over $5 million in 2024 cap room. I think we need to pay attention to that. Yes, DeAndre Hopkins makes cap space tight, but they can't complete that trade unless they already have the room. So now they've just created $5 million more of cap space. We've pondered this week. Are the Chiefs finished with the trade deadline? When I see that report, I would think, well, they're keeping their options open at minimum.
Yeah, when I see that report, for me, it's more about making sure that they have a little bit of flexibility as the season progresses, even, you know, if you get past the trade deadline, if they need to create some depth or sign a free agent or, you know, whatever that looks like. They've done that. I mean, keep in mind, going into the playoffs, I know at least last season, they made a couple, I think at least one running back acquisition, right? Like right before the postseason. And so those are really easy things to do if you need to provide depth, but you need the cap room to do it. So I don't immediately jump to the conclusion that it means they're still going to be active before the deadline. They might. I mean, I was surprised about Veach making a move for DeAndre Hopkins this week. So they might still go out there and make some other kind of move. But it also probably is more about creating flexibility even once you get later into the season.
Yeah, it's interesting how inverted this is from a year ago, right? Like a year ago, they were off to this great start, 6-1. They were, if I recall, they were pretty healthy at that point. And they didn't do a ton. They went and got Mecole Hardman to bring in, but that was kind of a non-needle mover or anything. You know, the Jets were sort of done with him. That wasn't a fit. And it was like, okay, everything's good. Then the trade deadline passes and the wheels fall off. So it was like, well, you're good with this. Like, this is what you've got right now. And you know, I think that's where some of the, you know, the concern came in when ultimately it was enough. And Rashee Rice's emergence about that same time cured what ailed him anyway. This year, it's sort of the opposite. They've had all the balls bounce their way in game, certainly not out of game because of all the injuries, but they're 6-0, and they have the opportunity to look at things now and see the injuries and the things that could go wrong and try to do everything they can to hopefully bolster themselves, you know, for the inevitability that maybe the ball doesn't always bounce your way. Now, they've built up enough cushion. This is all about the Super Bowl to me. Like, it's, you know, they're going to be fine in the regular season this year. So it's all about the Super Bowl. And I do applaud them for, you used the word complacency early in the week. I love this. And I think this is all smart. And I you know, I think it might be necessary. That's hard to predict. But I think it's at least worth considering as you make your way through. Can there be anything else, the Chiefs, if you're Brett Veach, can we do anything else over the next 2 weeks to position ourselves better than we are now? Because right now, it's great that we're 6-0. We could just as easily be 3-3. What can we do to make sure we get that third Super Bowl? And I think that's a very smart thing they're doing. And I think seeing that just kind of furthers that. Like, keep the door open for anything that might come up.
And if they do end up making some other kind of acquisition before the trade deadline, if Veach goes out and is able to work a trade with another team, based on what happened last week in San Francisco, I think that, for me at least, the priority shifts a little bit. Of course, they bring in DeAndre Hopkins, and I've heard a lot of chatter about could they go get another wide receiver and maybe do a pick swap or something and send a seventh rounder to a team to bring in more depth at wide receiver. For me, honestly, it's more about secondary help with Jalen Watson going down at this point, just based on what happened last week and the fact that they went out and got DeAndre Hopkins. And I know we've talked about left tackle and could they do anything there. That's more difficult to do at the trade deadline just because of the quality of players or just the players in general that are even going to be offered on the market. You could probably get secondary help if you absolutely needed to. But again, Brett Veach is not going to overpay. And so, going to be, I think, something to keep in mind as well, because we haven't heard of a lot of cornerbacks that are being shopped right now. It's always wide receivers, right? That's a really like prime target by the trade deadline nowadays. You don't hear about a ton of cornerbacks that are being offered up, but there are a couple of teams that you might look at. I mean, look at the one-win teams that are in the NFL right now that are going to need to, like the Browns or the Panthers. Like, are there secondary pieces that they would want to unload to rebuild for the future? I don't know. I don't think it's likely. I think this is more of a flexibility type move for down the road. But if they were to do something, that's where my priority is now.
Yeah, look, I agree, and they're not going to. They didn't overpay for DeAndre Hopkins.
They didn't. No, 100%.
They paid appropriately, I think. It was just about, you know, perfect on both sides.
Shoot, the Titans are paying more for DeAndre Hopkins now than the Chiefs.
Right. And the Titans, for what, you know, they had the ability to eat the money. And, you know, if it turns into a fourth round pick, that's a pretty good return on DeAndre Hopkins. He wasn't helping them at all. I mean, just look at the Chiefs and who they've been taking in the third and fourth rounds to know that that's a pretty good return if you draft right. So, yeah, I don't think they're going to overpay. I think you look at the secondary for sure, although they probably feel pretty good about their two young players there. I think you try to look at the offensive line if it's at all possible, of course. That's the least likely. But I think you can also look at pass rush. And I think in all of it, you're going to be looking for older players on expiring contracts where, you know, some money can be eaten. You've already given up potentially a fifth or fourth round pick. How much more are you willing to give up? Probably not anything more than, you know, a sixth or a seventh, I wouldn't think, unless it's a real impact type of player. The Chiefs are also going to need to be retooling a little bit next year, depending on if they can bring back Trey Smith. And they're still, you know, maybe not satisfied at left tackle. I think they'll be satisfied at wide receiver to some degree. So that maybe they don't have to invest there again. But we'll see what happens with Rashee Rice's situation and Hollywood Brown and all those things. I just think they're leaving the option open, and I think it's the right thing to do. Because as we look around the NFL, I think there are teams in Buffalo and Baltimore who were contenders who got way better, filling the Ravens with Derrick Henry, of course, but then Buffalo by bringing in Cooper. We'll see if the Jets can ever get their head screwed on straight defensively for the trade they made to matter, Devontae Adams. And then we see a team like last night. You know, the Rams are not as bad as people thought. We loved the Rams yesterday. I did, and PJ Glasser was with me. And it played out. Like, you could almost see it coming a mile away. The Vikings off of that tough Lions game, and the Rams, not only did they get Cooper Kupp back, but they got Puka Nacua back. Like, don't forget, the Rams are pretty good. That pick swap trade that everyone talks about with DeMarcus Robinson, by the way, that ain't happening. The Rams are right back. The Rams are right back in it.
As Robinson, you know, was pulling in those touchdown receptions last night, I kept thinking, well, his value's shooting through the roof. I don't think the Rams are moving him or anybody else at this point. And I just had this thought of, like, Brett Veach watching that game and probably going into the game thinking that he might be able to be a little stealth and sneaky in acquiring DeMarcus Robinson and having him come back to Kansas City. Yeah, that ain't happening now.
No. No, and I don't think it was before either, because his value to them is much higher than it would be to anybody else.
Had the Rams lost that game, though, and if Robinson had done a whole lot of nothing, then at that point, yeah, like, I mean, the Rams were placing calls about Cooper Kupp. So if they were willing to do that, had the Rams lost last night, I think they would have been willing to make a phone call or at least have a conversation about DeMarcus Robinson.
The other piece of that is what the 49ers are going through right now. To me, if I'm looking at all the teams in that division, and we'll get into the game last night in our next segment, the Rams would be the team to beat based on the roster that is on the field. Now, they've dealt with their own injuries. It's amazing how much better an offense can look when you bring in two Pro Bowl wide receivers.
Sure.
One Hall of Fame wide receiver in Cooper Kupp. So, like, don't count them out. I think bigger picture to as it pertains to the Chiefs, is you look at these things and you have to think about the entire field. And this is unique to the Chiefs this year, by the way. I don't think always it's this way, but man, that history is sitting there for the Chiefs. And that is the part for me that's always made this season a little bit different. Travis Kelce may be done after this year. Who knows what Andy Reid's going to do? Patrick Mahomes is getting, you know, he's not old, but he's getting older. There's a lot that just sits there this year as, like, maybe you put the bookmark at this chapter and then maybe, you know, the Patriots had two dynasties within a dynasty. I don't know if that's going to happen to the Chiefs. I don't think it will, but it'll be very different when Travis Kelce's gone and if Andy Reid ever retires and if, you know, all of these great players they've had just get too expensive. Like, they're going to have to at some point take a breath, catch up, and reload a little bit. They've done such a great job of stretching that out as much as they can. But there's no reason to me to not push it all in for this year to try to get that historic mark while you still have all these people. So when I see things like creating cap space, it makes my eyes light up because it tells me, they want to make sure that they've done everything they can possibly do by the time we get to January to give themselves a chance to make history. There's a reason it's never been done, right? It's difficult. This kind of year can fall into your lap where all your wide receivers get hurt or, you know, all the weird, stupid, fluky things that happen in the NFL. And so the Chiefs, now who know they're going to be fine in the regular season, what can you do to get better for the postseason? What can you do to make sure these teams who have all gotten better around you haven't passed you up?
Normally, I would actually disagree with that. I mean, and that's really been my, you know, thought process for most of this season. Going into it, they went back-to-back, trying to three-peat, all of that. Really, the DeAndre Hopkins trade has kind of changed my viewpoint on all of this because I entered into this season, and really, even as they went 6-0, I really believed that Brett Veach's mentality as the general manager was stay the course. We don't get off of what we usually do. We do what we do. If we continue to do what we do, then that means that we're going to continue to strive to go play in the postseason and to win another Super Bowl, but we're not going to shift off of that to go and try to acquire people or try to do things like big splashy things to push all of our chips in this season, the future be damned. That really wasn't what I thought was going to happen. And I'm not saying that that has happened, but my mentality has shifted a little bit. I'm not going to lie. When Veach acquired Hopkins earlier this week, that kind of shook me a little bit because it completely, in my mind, turned that philosophy kind of upside down because it was a high profile move for a team that I really thought they were going to say, we do what we do and we are going to continue to keep our heads down, roll with the guys that we've got and, you know, continue to try to just not only win now, but not mortgage our future also in the process. They haven't done that. But I really felt like the DeAndre Hopkins move was of a higher consequence than what I thought they would do. And here's another realization that I had surrounding all of that. Going back to us talking about DeMarcus Robinson and the Rams, there were all of those reports a couple of days ago that the Chiefs had conversations with the Rams about Cooper Kupp. Obviously, the financials didn't work out. The Rams, I guess, weren't willing to eat enough of Kupp's contract to be able to make it work. The Titans were with DeAndre Hopkins. That's why the deal went down the way that it did. If the Chiefs and the Rams had conversations about Cooper Kupp, you better believe they also had conversations about DeMarcus Robinson. Sure. Like those conversations, I guarantee, also happened between those two teams. The Chiefs could have very easily said, yeah, you're not really able to take on the contract or most of the contract for Cooper Kupp. Let's go ahead and get a deal done with DeMarcus Robinson. That's not going to be a major deal, but it does add depth. And he's got familiarity with the team, with all of that, the organization and the philosophies and everything. They didn't do that. They went back and they traded for DeAndre Hopkins. That's a higher profile move. It's a move of more consequence, hopefully in a positive way for Kansas City. That's a different mentality than what I thought they were going to do.
And I think what we have overlooked is when we try to compare it to last year, their desperation to do something came after the trade deadline, right? It wasn't like they couldn't do anything at the point where things were unraveling on them. And so, like we've said a billion times, like I'm not picking any of these teams to beat the Chiefs right now in the postseason, because I think how could you, based on what we see in those individual games? But that doesn't mean that it can't happen. It doesn't mean that, you know, the Chiefs have won some really, really close games in the postseason over these last 2 years. So, like, if I was to look at it, and I think this is how you have to approach it if you're the front office right now. We watched that game last night, which, again, we'll talk about in just a little bit. If I told you right now that the Chiefs were going to play the Rams in the Super Bowl, what is that? A 4-point spread? Like, that's not some definitive, like, oh, they would kill them. No, they wouldn't. And that's the Rams, right? Could you say that about the Ravens, the Texans, the Bills, the Steelers? Could you say that about the Lions, the Vikings, the Packers? No, I don't think that you can. So why would you just sit still? Like, the teams that will compete are all good. And, you know, based on what we've seen this year, just be realistic with it. The Chiefs can get better. They've got room to get better. For sure they do. And so I think that they're just doing all the due diligence they can to make sure they're in the best possible position when the time comes. They didn't get that luxury last year. Things unraveled after they got off to a great start. They didn't feel like they needed to. The DeAndre Hopkins move is a big move. It's a big move. They don't expect Juju Smith-Schuster to be out the rest of the year. Even if he's out 2-3 weeks, he'll be back. Mark, you know, Hollywood Brown could be back. Rashee Rice probably won't be back. Worthy will have developed for another few weeks. Like, they have the firepower. Isaiah Pacheco's coming back. That still doesn't mean they can't get better on the lines. Doesn't mean they can't try to make up for the Watson injury now. They've been, you know, we can laugh about how it's all piled up at the beginning of the season. But there's, you know, you can look at that glass half full and say, well, at least they have time to react to it. because it's before the trade deadline.
It all comes down for me to their identity compared to every other team that you listed off a couple of moments ago about legitimate Super Bowl contenders and what the Chiefs' identity is. They've been this year, it's different. We've talked about it at length. A different kind of team, a different kind of identity than what we've seen in years past from the Chiefs. What makes them so dangerous and why I, at this point, am not willing to pick any other team against them is because the way that the Chiefs have beaten opponents is death by a thousand paper cuts.
Absolutely.
There's nothing right now with this team that is flashy that will beat the opponent. There just isn't. And it's a team that has always been flashy. There's not a whole lot flashy about it. Now, there'll be individual moments here and there. Mahomes had a couple of runs last week that were pretty flashy and fun. But with all of the must-see TV SportsCenter top 10 moments over the last 5 or 6 years with Mahomes at the helm, that's not the identity of this team. Meanwhile, I'm just going to use this one team as an example. There are others like it. The Ravens are explosive. With yep. Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson, they're like a grenade going off, right? The Chiefs can sneak up on you, and all of a sudden it's like, wait, how did this happen? Like Patrick Mahomes just threw for 130 yards, and he had no touchdowns, and he threw two interceptions. How in the world did we get beat? Meanwhile, Lamar is putting up 400 yards through the air, and Derrick Henry's running all over the opponents. And, you know, they're a really good team, obviously, too. But you can see them coming. You can see the Ravens. You can see every other team coming. You know, by and large, what a lot of these other teams are going to do. You don't know how the Chiefs do it, but they do it and they get it done. And that's it's what makes them so dangerous.
It's the defense. This, you know, they're a better version this year than they were last year when things were unraveling. Now, they grew into themselves by the time the playoffs and the postseason hit. They just got to start this year where they ended last year. They know that's what they want to do. Another good example, I just look back. You were making me think of the old Chiefs and how they were flashy. They traded for Melvin Ingram right before the trade deadline in like 2021. That was the kind of move I think they're still setting themselves up to be able to make. Where is a really good play, just like D-Hop, where's a really good player who hadn't had a chance to win that could come in, give us, even if it's limited snaps, and make an impact on a game? Those are the kinds of things. I think they're gonna try to do something else. What started this entire conversation is they restructured Juwan Taylor to free up about $5 million of money. And yes, that happens after the D-Hop move, but they couldn't have made the D-Hop move if it didn't fit in the cap. They were already in the cap. They freed this money up to keep their options open.
I'm gonna give you one name because you mentioned somebody that's a veteran defensively that they can make a splash kind of along the same lines as DeAndre Hopkins. I don't think they'll do it, but man, I think a Buda Baker trade would be outstanding. The Browns are bad. The Chiefs need secondary help. He's a veteran. He can join a contender immediately and play for a Super Bowl. That would be the kind of move that I think you're referencing.
I would, if I'm guessing right now, I would guess that the Chiefs will make another move. And I think the most likely move is pass rusher. I'm excited about it. Let's make the team. Again, it's the inverted Patriots, to your point. The Chiefs were flashy at the beginning of the dynasty and now have morphed into this team. Nobody can figure out how they beat them every week. Just the opposite of what the Patriots did in theirs, right? Those early years, it was like, how is this team beating us and winning Super Bowls? And then it got flashy, right? And then Brady started to pile up the yard. We flipped it upside down here.
By the way, I said the Browns, he plays for the Cardinals. I mean, the Cardinals should move Buda Baker and have him be able to be joining a contender and competing for a Super Bowl.
I would be on the phone with San Francisco over the next 2 weeks if something else bad happens to them and ask about Charvarius Ward. That's who I would ask about.
Yeah.
I would most like to see them go after a pass rusher, and I do think that's the most likely when we talk about older veteran type players that might become available. Melvin Ingram's a great example of that in doing that kind of move. All right, we're over it. Let's talk about the game last night. That was a great game. I thought it was an impactful game too in the NFC. Thursday Night Football with a controversy at the end of that game for sure. That's next on Sports Daily. Albrock and Caster, don't go away.
Oh,
portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. Fall at the club. There's still golf, tennis, glow-in-the-dark triples is coming up. It's a one-time-per-year special event, Halloween-themed triples event. They black out the indoor courts. They light everything up. High energy. Got the music going. Drinks a la carte. It's triples, which means you'd be a part of a team of three or four, taking on other teams of three or four, and then you rotate after every point. Costume contest. Prizes will be available. Check it out, Crestview Country Club, more than golf. Although I did play about 7 holes of golf yesterday.
A little windy out there. Did you blow away?
Just before the wind picked up about hole probably 5 or 6.
Okay.
When I was out there. And then I just ran out of time. So it timed out just about right for me. But it was nice to get out there. That's one of the things I like about it. Busy schedule. Get out there, get as much as I can, and then get on with my day. Tommy, I forgot all about this. It's the exhibition game tonight for KU in
it
Arkansas.
Is. Yeah.
8 o'clock. That's going to be very interesting to see. So we'll definitely be keeping our eye on that tonight for sure. I'm curious to see it, but I know Hunter Dickinson yesterday, I think they announced he's not going to play.
Right.
Which honestly, I kind of like that for KU because we know what Hunter Dickinson's going to bring to the table. I kind of want to see all these other players, right? So it doesn't break my heart. Just be careful. No reason not to. But that'll be fun tonight. Arkansas, of course, will be good with John Calipari there now.
Always fun Thursday to watch Bill Self and Calipari face off against each other, by the way.
Right. Yeah, maybe they'll get in an old man fist fight. That'd be awesome. No, they won't in an exhibition. These exhibition games are pretty cool. And I think it's a charity game again this time.
Yeah.
So that I wish that we would get that across the country. Bill Self did this last year for the, you know, to help with the wildfires out in Maui. They played Illinois. So, and I love that KU's going on the road to do these games too. They did that at the Illinois game. They're doing it again. Bill Self has always been a master of challenging his team early and getting them ready for what will be coming late in the year. So that game is tonight. Wichita State's exhibition is next week. And I believe K-State's
on Sunday. Wichita State's exhibition is Sunday.
The 27th?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Let me just look. Just while we're on this, let me look just so I don't say the wrong thing. Let me see when K-State basketball.
Theirs is not until next week.
That's what it is. Theirs is the one next week. That's correct. Right. Okay. So you get Wichita State's this weekend, which again will be fascinating. I would imagine we won't see Monte unless something crazy happens. It's Tuesday that we get K-State's. Then you get another week or so of a break before the actual starts of season. So we'll have a lot of basketball to talk about on Monday, for sure, with between KU and Wichita State. Football Friday here on the program. Vikings-Rams, it delivered. We hoped it would deliver. Went over like we hoped. Two good offenses, although the Vikings fell really flat after the first two drives of the game for some reason. That was sort of interesting to see happen. But the Rams get all their firepower back, and then all of a sudden, they look really good on offense. And, oh, yeah, Matt Stafford's really good. And, oh, yeah, they got two really good wide receivers there who have been out most of the season. And, you know, all the things we thought about the game, and we didn't even know Nacua was going to play when we were talking about it yesterday morning, and it delivered. But how about that call at the end of the game? That's as bad as it gets if you're the Vikings. That was as clear a face mask with everything on the line, with the officials as close to that play as they ever will be because it was in the end zone. They're never that close to the play. I mean, there were two officials staring right at it. How on earth do you miss that call? I mean, that's as bad as it gets.
Yeah, it was a bad call, number one. Number two, you know, when you're in that kind of position, you have so many referees that are out on the field, and the explanation officially was that no referee had a good look at it. Then there's
they were right there.
Then there's an issue with the positioning, like where the referees are. If nobody, and I don't buy that nobody had a good look at it, but if that's really accurate and the truth, then they need to work on where they're positioning, because how can you not have a good look at the quarterback in the end zone? Like because everybody knows, like, when you are that deep in your own territory and the quarterback is going to drop back into his own end zone, that there's probably going to be pressure brought on the quarterback. There is nowhere else on the field for the officials to be looking than right there. So the fact that nobody had a good look at it, and you know, this is just the insaneness, I guess, of just how NFL challenges work. And like, that play's not reviewable. Like, a penalty like that is not reviewable. Like, how do we have some things reviewable and some things not? Like, I just don't understand that part of it. Bad call all the way around. But I do, the caveat I do want to say, there's no guarantee that Sam Darnold would have led the team down, because they would have needed to score a touchdown and a two-point conversion to tie at that point. There's no guarantee that had happened because, of course, as you mentioned, the Vikings offense after the first couple of drives really kind of fell apart. So, you know, it's unfortunate it happened that way, but I think the people that are saying, you stole a victory from the Vikings. There's no way
but
that you can say that.
There's also no need to miss that call. By the way, Justin Jefferson's on that team. You throw up a couple, who knows, right? Like, but they had plenty of time to drive down the field. Like, that's what made it so annoying. They had almost 2 minutes to get down the field with perhaps the NFL's best offensive player on that team. Like, come on now, refs. And why do we overcomplicate replay in all sports? This should not be that hard. If there is a blatant missed call, you have somebody watching and you say, nope, that is, you guys missed it. There was a face mask there. It's not hard. We should be able to do that now. We know we can because they do it on other plays. Do it for every single play. Every single play takes 2 seconds for somebody to buzz down to the official and be like, you missed that. That's not the right call. We're starting to see that introduced in other places. Certain calls get like flipped all the time now. Just make it for every call. It's not hard.
And it's not that particular call. Like, the face mask right there is objective. It is definitive.
Yeah,
it's
like
definitive.
That one's not even difficult,
right? Like, it's not like a pass interference where you have to judge the impact of something or how deliberate it was or whatever. Like, it's not subjective in that regard. It's pretty easy. It's pretty cut and dry. Did the guy grab the face mask or not? And in that case, he did. It's unfortunate for the Vikings that, ultimately that was the end of their opportunity to push the ball down the field. You were talking about the Rams, by the way, and everything with Nacua and Kupp and Stafford threw the ball great. My concern, if you'll recall yesterday going into the game, was how long is it going to take for that offense to click on all cylinders? Will there be a little bit of a ramp-up period that they'll need to go through? Really, there wasn't. And if there was, early in the game, the Rams really fed the ball to Kyren Williams. And I think that was something that I didn't even think about. Like, if it did take a while, potentially, for that offense, or at least for the passing game, to start to click again or start to get more comfortable or whatever with those guys returning to the lineup, then all they have to do is just start feeding Kyren Williams and he'll get them going. And that's exactly what happened. I said worst case scenario for the Rams would be that it would take a minute for that offense to start to come around again. It didn't at all. And that was the most impressive thing about the game.
They were ready to roll. Impressive. I'm glad that they're in it. I really like Matt Stafford. I have become a big fan of Sean McVay. So I'm glad that they're in it. I'm glad that they're good because I think Stafford is incredible. I think Stafford, had he played on different teams and had better chances to win, would be in that conversation, you know, of not just Hall of Fame, where I think he'll be there, but like, you know, one of those quarterbacks we talk about when we talk about the best that have played the game, his arm talent. I mean, he makes, I don't want to say as many, but he probably makes more like wacky, incredible physical throws than anybody not named Patrick Mahomes. And he's done that for years, right? He just played for a really crap franchise for a long time that's now turned it around, ironically, after they traded him for Jared Goff, who is maybe the number two guy for the MVP right now. But I think they're a cool team, and I've always been a fan of the Vikings too. That was a fun game. It delivered, and I hope it's precursor of the weekend and we get a fun NFL weekend. For the Vikings, 2 losses in a row, I'm not worried at all about them. It doesn't impact what I think of their chances to go do something special. I don't think they're going to anyway, but this doesn't change that opinion. By any means, their offense fell flat for a while, and credit probably goes to the Rams for that. Not totally sure, but they're going to get Hawkinson back at some point too and get even more dangerous offensively. But a great game. Two good teams, two contenders, I think, in the NFC for sure.
By the way, I traded TJ Hawkinson in one of my fantasy leagues earlier this week just because I'd had him and I had him on IR for quite a while. It was actually our dynasty league that you and I are in.
Didn't you trade him to me?
No, I traded him to somebody else in that league. I had him on.
I think you traded him to me, too.
That was, I had him in another league. In our dynasty league that you and I are in, I had him on IR, had him there for a long time, and I kept expecting eventually he would come back, and I know he will, but I had the offer because it's a dynasty league to be able, like, we get draft picks, and I wanted a draft pick, and so I traded Hawkinson for a second rounder.
Yeah, he's good. He'll be back. I thought he'd be back this week. I bet it's next week. Yeah, you traded him to me too. I thought you just couldn't be patient.
I could. Well, but also I've had other tight ends that I, you know, feel have stepped up and I feel pretty confident about.
Hey, thanks a lot. I don't have any. I really could have used him. You could have traded him to me twice. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. World Series starts tonight too. So we've got some things out there coming tonight. We got top of the hour football picks incoming. I'm excited. We got a lot of fun ones to do there. So it's all Brockton Caster. The IHOP hotline is open. We'll get to a voice message through the Odyssey app when we return as well. It's all coming for you on Sports Daily. Don't go away.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Win a prize here, our HTO Text to Win contest. You can enter by texting the keyword T right now to the short code 20357. What that'll get you is a free iced tea card featuring new seasonal flavor peach cobbler, by the way, as well as a free iced or hot coffee drink from HTO as well. Lots of options to choose from. These are good for East Wichita, West Wichita, or in Derby. And again, you can enter. All you got to do is text the keyword T to the short code 20357. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Good luck. Tommy, just stunning, terrible news yesterday. South Florida basketball coach Amir Abdur-Rahim dies at 43 and a medical procedure had complications. One of the real risers in college basketball. Just an incredible story last year. I was floored by that. 43 years old. That is a stunner and just terrible news.
Yeah, he was absolutely one of the young, exciting college basketball coaching stars over the last couple of years and what he did at South Florida. Remember, they won the American a year ago, and nobody really thought that that was going to happen, and they did. They were a really good team last season, and he took, what was it, Kennesaw State, you know, to new heights before he got the job at South Florida. Really just stunning, out of the blue, unexpected, all of those different things. And you know, especially, and I'm not even thinking about this from a basketball standpoint. It's more about just an emotional standpoint. It happening so close to the start of the season with his players and his fellow coaches getting ready for this season, preparing, all of that. And then to have this happen just out of the blue right before the season starts has got to be absolutely devastating for his entire team.
I just can't believe it. Like, I can't, but I just saw it yesterday. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
What is going on? Like, he's a young guy. He's about our age. And it's just a reminder, man. So just feel terrible for his family, for those players. But that news, if you missed it yesterday, I know Shocker fans are well-versed in just how good a job he did last year. But yeah, Amir Abdur-Rahim died 43 years old. Tommy, we've got the World Series coming up tonight. Which I'm excited about. All of a sudden, my evening now with, you know, World Series and KU's exhibition game, like, just it just turned into a pretty good little sports night. And of course, we have Friday night football. Like, here we go. Like, we always use these Fridays to like springboard us into what's coming on Saturday and Sunday. Can't overlook Friday this week. I don't even know. Are there good college football games on tonight? Like, I know they've been really hammering home on Friday nights. But here we go.
Did you watch Syracuse and Pitt last night?
I did not. No, I
had it. Well, we took our kids bowling. It was our 3-year-old's first time to ever go bowling before, and he loved it. He had a great time. But they had the Syracuse Pitt game on while we were at the bowling alley, and Pitt ran all over Syracuse. And Kyle McCord, the one thing, quarterback for Syracuse, the one thing that went viral was I think he was sacked like 6 times in the game, and he had a viral moment where he sacked himself. I don't know if you saw that or not. At the very end of the game, dropping back. tripped over his own feet and went down. It was a disaster for Syracuse last night.
I can tell you that my interest level in that game was zero. No offense to
I wouldn't have had it on our pal had it Jeffrey, not been on at the bowling alley. Fan.
No, I was not. I will tell you, though, just looking tonight, I don't have any interest in Louisville-Boston College. I don't have much interest in Rutgers USC.
Boise State UNLV. I mean, that's
but
you know,
I got interest in
be
Boise
fun.
State UNLV.
That's a late game too.
Give me some Jainty. And UNLV, who's been this great story. They of course they were one of the teams that beat KU. Slight home dog, but that's a fascinating game too. Jainty, I've got a buddy who's a Boise State fan. We laugh, like the props will come out on Jainty. It's like 190 yards or something. And you're sure. Like, that's just, and he hits it every time. It's just ridiculous. I put a Heisman bet in on him after, I think, week one or two. So now I think he's the favorite or he's the second favorite. And I got him at long odds. So I'm really looking forward to that. But he has just been out of this world. I don't remember a college running back. Somebody brought up Barry Sanders. Like the way they've dominated at the level. It's just what, like if you're playing Boise, what would you do? You'd put 12 guys in the box, you know, whatever it takes, and they still can't stop him. All right, let's get into this message we teased a little bit. Ken left us a message about the NBA. The NBA is underway. This is through the Odyssey app. You can leave us these voice messages. You push the little microphone and you can leave them. So here's Ken's message. I have no idea what this is on the NBA.
Good morning, gents. Last night on the best sports talk show around, present company excluded, inside the NBA, Charles Barkley proclaimed that our neighbors to the south, the Oklahoma Thunder, are going to win the Western Division of the NBA. That's kind of an exciting way to start the season off. Also, just a reminder that we just got one heck of a World Series starting tonight. Just studs up and down the lineups of both teams. Should be just an awesome show. Okay, back to the deep dive into the NFL cap. Thank you.
Yeah,
love that.
I like that. For, you know, Barkley, his predictions are one thing. He's the best. But, yeah, the Thunder. Who would you pick over the Thunder the way they ended last year? And I will say I've seen Barkley calling out Joel Embiid and the NBA players, and I love it so much. This injury management, like we're playing basketball here. It's physically taxing, but you're not digging ditches. Like get out there and play. Fans are spending a ton of money to consume your sport. Get your butt out there and play unless you're actively hurt. Load management. It's a load of something is what it is. In my humble opinion.
By the way, I didn't know this, and you know, Ken brought up the World Series starting tonight. I've read this morning that there are five former MVPs that are on collectively the roster of both of these teams playing in the World Series. If all five of them will play in the same game, if that ends up happening, that'll be the first time that's ever happened. There have been four MVPs that have played in a World Series game at the same time. Hasn't happened since 1971. The Baltimore Orioles had four MVPs that all played in that World Series. If five between the two teams happens at any point, probably will. That's never happened before. Do you know the five players? Can you name them?
Shohei Judge, of course. Clayton Kershaw, did he get an MVP?
No, he didn't get an MVP.
Okay, so then Freddie Freeman would be three.
Stanton is four.
Mookie,
Stanton.
Oh, then they'll for sure all five play. Stanton got an MVP?
Yeah, he did.
Giancarlo Stanton got an MVP?
He sure did.
Oh, I don't remember that. Wow, really? That's crazy. All right, hour number two, football picks coming. Here we go. We'll talk a little high school football as well. It is a Catch at Kansas Friday. Stick around. Sports Daily is coming right back.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, sports bettors, ready for some picks destined to fail? It's time to hear what the Sports Daily staff thinks of the weekend games.
And that's where we start hour number two here on the program. We are joined, Tommy and I, by Brandon Zinner out from the golf course at Friday Tradition. TJ Cleland, we're peeling away, I'm sure, from some video games. Paul Savage in as well. So here we go, fellas. We'll let Tommy has been, you know, bugging me about this part of the picks. Jad, how did we do last week?
Yeah, let's go.
Well, just let me know when anybody gets anywhere close to Paul.
Yeah, I like the way you think.
Let's not diminish.
I like the way you think.
Let's not. That's not the lead. That's not the lead, Jad. Like, let's not diminish the outstanding week that yours truly had a week ago.
And very, very much so. We won't do that. We won't diminish that you had a 6-0 week, Tommy.
Thank you.
You led the week. Paul did come in second, so nobody else was gaining any ground. When it comes to that, Jacob, I believe you went 3-3, and then TJ and Brandon both went 2-4. So, Jacob, at least you broke even there. But yeah, Paul still got the cumulative lead though, 31-15. Tommy kind of pulled into second there. He'd been in second for a while, 25-21. Jacob, you and TJ are at 24-22. Brandon, 16-30.
Ooh, yikes. Hey, Brandon, maybe focus less on the golf game and a little bit more on your picks.
That's why we bet parlays, right? You just need to hit one or two, and you're good.
Hey, I hear there's an opening in the weather department there at the station.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
We do it all there.
Okay.
All right, Chad, hit the music. Let's do this. We start in college football, LSU, Texas A&M. Tommy wins the week last week. Tommy can go first. The Aggies are 1-point favorites at home in a big SEC showdown between one-loss teams. Tommy, where are you at on this one?
I'm a big believer in Mike Elko and the Aggies. I know that it's taken a little bit of time to get things rolling, but, man, it's such a breath of fresh air to have a competent coach coaching Texas A&M. It's been a minute since that has happened, and I think a lot of it is just obviously the extremely high expectations that everybody has on A&M. Elko, I think, will live up to that eventually. He's already started that process. I like them at home. It's basically a pick 'em. They're laying a point, but I'm going to take A&M to win, and I'll lay that point.
Paul, can the pretend Cage and Brian Kelly make it back-to-back road wins in the SEC at a place like Kyle Field?
You know something I don't know, and I don't care. All I know is that Tommy Kester may be the greatest picker of all time. So in order to give him the dues and the honors that he has received from this week's accolades, I'm going with Texas A&M as well, only because Tommy Kester took it. That's the last one. That's my salute to you.
Thank you.
I'm done. Now I'm picking on my own, but that was for you, big boy.
Yeah, I'll go A&M as well. It is back-to-back road games at Arkansas. And LSU looked really good last week, but now they got to stay on the road, go down to A&M. These are two really good teams. This will be one of the better games this weekend. But I'll take the Aggies at home when it's essentially a pick 'em. Brandon, what do you think?
Well, I had one strategy going into this round of picks, and I've heard the first three, and I see potential for something else. So I guess give me LSU, boys.
Got to do it.
Take the opportunity. Yeah, you can give them the island team.
I think I am. I'm going with A&M. I think that the last time that I picked against Kyle Field, whenever Mizzou went there, Mizzou got absolutely embarrassed a little bit. So I'm going to pick A&M. They've got it rolling since they lost Notre Dame. I think this would be seven straight, I believe. They can get this one done. I think they do it at home.
How about the fishiest spread of the week next? BYU going on the road to UCF. UCF is favored in this game, Paul. Are you buying that?
No.
UCF favored at home?
No. I can't. How can you buy this? I mean, I thought you had it. Are you sure you don't have a typo? Are you sure?
I'm certain.
I know. I'm going to take BYU. This might be the easiest pick of the week. Am I wrong on that?
I'll go next. I don't know. They, you know, on the road last week, UCF had Iowa State on the ropes. You know, they've got one bad loss to Colorado at home. They've been really close, if not winning some other games. BYU's really good. BYU survived Oklahoma State on the road. I think there's a reason UCF's favored. I think Vegas is pretty smart. I'll roll the dice on it. I'll take the home favorite, even in a 3-4 versus 7-0 matchup. Give me the Knights, baby. EJ's shaking his head at me.
It's insane that this line is a thing because UCF hasn't won a game since September 14th and they're favored against an undefeated team. It's unreal. Like, I understand that they're taking these teams to the wire and everything like that, but in the same breath, the Kansas Jayhawks have taken every single team to the wire that they've lost to, too. You think that they would be favored against BYU right now? I don't think that they would. I'm not going to make this complicated. I'm going to pick the undefeated team to cover the spread.
Brandon, what happens most of the time when we think, man, that's a weird line in Vegas? Like, why would they do that? That's so obvious. Like, it's just such a no-brainer. We've been here before.
It usually goes the other way. Vegas always knows, but you know who knows more than Vegas? So far this year, Paul Savage has proven that. I'm going to ride with Paul Savage.
That's right. If only Paul actually bet his picks, he'd be a rich man. Tommy, what do you think? Give me the island. Give me the island.
Well, look, I mean, you know, BYU's quarterback Jake Retzlaff said earlier this week that UCF is the best 3-4 team in college football. The thing that's interesting about, you know, the home field advantage when you talk about that is that it only matters if you actually can take advantage of your home field advantage. UCF hasn't been able to do that, losing to Colorado and Cincinnati. They're due to make that happen. BYU is due for a bad break. I'm going to take UCF at home. I'm going to lay those points. I'm going to take that island, boys.
Wow. There's so many reasons this is a trap game. You've got Utah next week for BYU. That's a long trip for them. Stylistically, these teams are a lot alike. Like, there are a lot of trappy things in there. I was really hoping to get an island on that one. I figured I would.
Oh, I guess I don't get an island. Okay. I've got UCF. Okay.
It is the fishiest line of the week for sure, which scares me. All right. Let's go KU and K-State. Sunflower Showdown. It's down to 9.5 this morning. It's been as high as 10.5. I'll go first here. I do think this game will be fun to watch. I think it will be competitive. But at the end of the day, Chris Klieman and the Cats kill people at home. I think that you've got sort of like a late cover type thing. I think this game's competitive, but I'm not betting against K-State at home. Not until. I mean, this will be the game where we see it from KU, maybe, to swing it the other way, but it's not going to be this one for me. I'm going to take the Cats. Brandon?
I just told myself if I put that ball on the green that I was going to bet the Cats, and I'm going to this game tomorrow. I don't need Cats fans mocking me at all, so give me the Cats.
All right.
Did you get the ball on the green, though? That's the important question. You didn't answer that.
Yeah.
I got about 6 feet for birdie.
Okay, good.
There you go. TJ?
This one, I'm going to pick the Hawks. I don't know what it is about this one. I think if they can go on the road and do it, they looked really good last week. They're chronic, I guess not coverers, because they've been favored in all the games that they've lost, but they've kept it close every single game that they've lost. I can see them doing it again in this one. And like I said, they looked the best that they did last week. And it's a Sunflower Showdown because weird things happen every single time. So give me the Jayhawks.
Tommy.
So Kansas has only covered the spread in one of their games this entire season. It's only happened one time, which isn't surprising considering what we've seen from Kansas in this game. Really, for me, the deciding factor comes down to the game being in Manhattan. I think it's going to be a close game. I think that it's going to, or at least a close enough game. I think that at this point, really, it'll be more competitive than maybe what people think. I'm going to actually side with TJ. I think that the Jayhawks will cover. I think Kansas State ultimately wins the game, but I think the Jayhawks can keep it within a touchdown, so I'm going to take Kansas to cover.
What do you think, Paul?
My only question is, what time is game time? Is this a game that starts before 9 or 9:30 at night?
Yes.
All right. If that's the case, I'm taking K-State.
Short okay. and simple and
so
sweet. I like
three
that.
K, yeah, three K-States and two KUs. That's about probably where it should be. I do think that line is just about right. I mean, I think this is that. I think the game is within two touchdowns, so we get there. All right, let's go to the NFL. This one's a good one. Bills at Seahawks. There aren't as many great games in the NFL as there were a week ago. This is a good one. Seahawks 3-point home dogs, TJ. These are two pretty good teams. What do you think here?
Yeah, this one's a toss-up. This is one that I would probably steer clear of because these are one of the trap game lines in the NFL where anything's going to happen. I'm going to pick the Bills. I still like Josh Allen a lot. I know that they, faltered a little bit in the past couple of weeks, but I think that the Seahawks are not exactly in that elite level of teams that I think that the Bills are still in. So give me Buffalo to go on the road and cover points.
Brandon, do you agree?
The Vikings stink. The Bills don't. Give me the Bills.
All right. Paul, you taking the Seahawks home dogs here?
You know, something I'm tempted to go with the Seahawks. But dang, you know, the Bills are just a good football team. They've got all the tools that one would need in terms of receivers, particularly quarterback. I don't know. This is a tough one because the 3 points is a little worrisome at home. But, Jimmy and Christmas, you just got to stick with the quality. I'm going with the Bills. I'm joining the boys from KWCH.
Oh, Tommy, I'm going to give you a chance for an island here. I'm also going to take the Bills. They've got another week of Amari Cooper. I don't like this one at all. I won't actually bet this game. If I bet anything with this game, it'll be the over. But as far as these picks go, it's really a bet on Josh Allen as much as anything else. But, man, get an island with home points like that?
Well, I mean, look, the thing with the Bills, obviously Josh Allen just a week ago had his best passing game of the entire season. And really, the presence of Amari Cooper, you know, Cooper obviously did some stuff and was productive in the game. But really, I think it has increased what the other receivers want to do on that team because they don't want to lose targets to Amari Cooper. So whether you're talking about Shakir or Keon Coleman, like they both played really well in the second half last week for Buffalo. That being said, though, and I was going to take Buffalo if I have a chance at an island, I think I'm going to take the Seahawks and I'll take the points. And the reason why there is a justification there. Kenneth Walker needs to have a really good game on the ground. Geno Smith is not going to be able to outduel Josh Allen, so the Seahawks are going to have to lean on Walker. He's been inconsistent, but he can be successful. He has been a couple of weeks this season. He's going to have to do it again this week, and if he can, I like the Seahawks, and I'll take the points.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's the way to go with that.
Nobody blames you for taking the island.
That's a really hard game. All right, Chiefs-Raiders. It's the late afternoon game there. Raiders getting 9.5 points at home. Brandon, 9.5 points at home for the Raiders. Can the Chiefs go on the road and cover that kind of number?
I'm not sure if the Chiefs defense will give up 7 points to this Raiders team. I mean, they just look like absolute dysfunction right now. So if the Chiefs can score 17, they're going to cover the spread. Give me the Chiefs.
You agree, TJ?
All I know is that the real bet in this game is taking DeAndre Hopkins 2+ touchdowns and all the juice that you're getting on that one. The Chiefs are going to cover this one. I think that, as Brandon said, the defense is too good. They did what they did to the 49ers. I imagine they can do it again against the Raiders this week.
Paul, the Chiefs have been playing with fire in a lot of ways with the turnovers. Now they're turning people over too. Can they go on the road and cover a number like that if they, you know, turn the ball over like they have been?
Well, the Raiders are probably, would you say, maybe the bottom seven of quality teams?
Absolutely.
Right? They're not very good.
Absolutely.
To me, this is the second easiest game to pick behind the BYU-UCF game. This is the second easiest game. 9.5 points will be covered in the first half. I mean, going into halftime, the bet's going to be covered. So I'm going to go ahead and take. I'm going to go ahead and take the Chiefs.
Tommy?
Well, you know, traditionally, a spread that is even approaching double digits in the NFL is really dangerous, like really, really dangerous. In this case, though, I everything points to the Chiefs being able to cover the points. I'm going to take it just because the Raiders, I mean, who they're going to start? Gardner Minshew, right? They don't have Davante Adams anymore. They're in free fall. I just don't see anything positive about the Raiders while the Chiefs have all the momentum. And by the way, they still have covered every single game except one this year, the Chiefs have. So I'll lay those points. I'm going to take the Chiefs.
Yeah, this one's interesting for me. The Chiefs are way better than the Raiders. I agree with Paul that I think the first half cover is in play. But I also think a backdoor cover for the Raiders by the end of this game is very much in play. I'll tell you why. And I'll take the Raiders. Just it's an island, and I think it's not as egregious as it may seem. Max Crosby's going to be a problem in this game. Just like we saw early, Bosa be a problem. And the other problem, it's kind of similar to the Niners. Now, they're not as good as the Niners, but are they close to the Niners with what they were able to wheel out there with no Ayuk and no... They have one of the best tight ends in football right now in Brock Bowers. If there is a weakness to the Chiefs' defense, it is stopping tight ends. So, matchup-wise, if the Chiefs are bad at left tackle and they're bad at covering tight ends, those are two of the very few things the Raiders can actually do pretty well. It feels like maybe a backdoor cover could come into play in this. I'm not going to bet this game this way. I would probably bet the under, honestly, if I bet it at all. But I'll take the points here at home because I do think the Raiders have a chance to sneak in there late and do something on a turnover or something like that. So I'll take the Raiders there. All right, Cowboys-Niners in the slop fest of the week, potentially. The Niners, because they're dealing with all the injuries that they have. The Cowboys, because they're just not good and playing not well. Paul, the Niners are 4-point favorites at home, though. What do you think about this one?
Well, this comes down to me. Who is going to stink the worst or stink the least, I guess would be the proper way to say it. And having watched the 49ers fellas, this is not the 49ers team that we thought it was going to be at the beginning of the year. This is not even close to that football team. So with that being said, but the game is in San Francisco, so that has an effect. But you know something? Maybe the Cowboys rally. We've seen a Cowboys defense that is suspect at times. Can they do enough to stop the 49ers? And I'm probably going to say yes. I'm going to go ahead and take the Cowboys, although this is two ugly teams. Two teams with problems. Two teams that could use a win to make things at least try to turn around.
This is actually one of my favorite bets of the week, one that I've already made because I'm afraid the number will shrink. I love the Cowboys +4 here. The Niners are hobbled. The Cowboys, while they've been really bad, they've been much better on the road. They're coming out of a bye week. They're relatively healthy coming into it, and the 49ers are not. But 4 points, man, I'm going to take the Cowboys here. I've already made this bet. I like this bet. Tommy, what do you think?
I think this game is going to come down to a field goal and really either direction. I can see either team winning this game. The edge I'm going to give to the Cowboys, though, coming off of a bye week. They're rested. They're healthier for sure than the Niners are. And just after watching the way that Brock Purdy played against the Chiefs a week ago, and I know defensively the Chiefs are better than the Cowboys, Purdy didn't look good, and the weapons are just not there, especially with Ayuk out. And I don't really know. Do we know Debo Samuel's status for this weekend? I don't know what that's going to look like. So with all of that uncertainty, I don't think the Cowboys are great, but I'm certainly going to take the points. I'll join you guys and do Cowboys +4.
Brandon, you might be getting an opportunity here.
My least favorite bet in all of sports is the Cowboys to cover. But yeah, I just don't see how you go with the 49ers and their health situation. So give me the Cowboys.
Tell big game Braxton Jones we said hello, by the way. TJ, I am surprised that you've got an opportunity here for a 49ers island. I did not think this would go this way. Are you going to take it?
I woke up this morning when I got the text and I was taking the 49ers, so I'll absolutely take the island.
I'm surprised by that.
The Cowboys are coming off a bye, like you guys said, but they're coming off a bye after they lost by 100 points to the Lions. I don't know what you think happened in the bye to make them a team. The Lions are good, by the way, but 49ers are a team, even though they're beat up, they've got a lot of skill. I think that they can get it done. I don't think that the Cowboys, with as much times as they wronged me this season, I don't know if I picked the Cowboys to cover against the Wichita East Blue Aces right now.
Not Mr. Savage's Blue Aces, that's for sure. Look, the Cowboys are the most Jekyll and Hyde, and they have been every year under Mike McCarthy. They're the most Jekyll and Hyde team in football. We haven't seen a lot of Mr. Jekyll. Mr. Jekyll's a good one, right? Hyde's the bad one? Jekyll's a good one?
Dr. Jekyll.
Dr. Jekyll.
He didn't go to college for as long as he did for you to call him Mr.
Hey, you know what they call a D student in med school?
A doctor. Doctor.
That's right. So, yeah, the Jekyll. We haven't seen enough of the Jekyll, so it's time for the Jekyll. Speaking of big game Braxton Jones, I know he'll be going with the Cowboys this weekend. He's out there shooting Braxton, former KWCH. Always good to see him. All right. If you missed any of our picks and you wonder what we're talking about on the video streams, you can always go back and watch that, by the way, on 12 News Connected, on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. You can listen to it on the Odyssey app. That's it for picks this week.
Yay!
Can't wait for this week because we can get Tommy off of a 6-0 week, and then we want to hear about that again. We're going to keep TJ Cleland around. We're going to talk a little high school football because it is a Catch at Kansas Friday. TJ will get a surprise to what's coming up there. Some smaller schools game of the week might surprise you a little bit. That's next on Sports Daily. Keep it right here. Welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. We're glad to be here with you. We're glad to be here on a Friday, which means it's a high school football Friday, a Catch at Kansas Friday, and running things over at Catch Kansas, TJ Cleland, of course, getting everything ready to go. You had a lot of golf coverage this week, but it is about football, TJ. And as we look ahead to some of these games, I'm going to look ahead to our buddy Paul Savage's Blue Aces in Dodge City as we start with the big schools. Dodge City's pretty good. We know East is good. This will be a fun one tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Dodge City is a team that this is the best Dodge City team that I've seen in my almost 3 years that I've been here, for sure. You know, they really started to piece it together. Their only losses this year, when you look at it, they lost to Olathe East, which is a 6A power in Kansas City. They lost to Great Bend, who's undefeated and probably the best team in Class 5A this side of Kansas City. And they lost to Hayes is always a power in the WAC. I think they've won it the last 2 years, I believe. So they beat Garden City last week, won the Hatchet game. This is another big test for them coming to Wichita. I think they played South, it says, but this is their first, you know, they played East. They're playing East as a top team in the City League, basically. Big test for them and a big test for East to keep it going here into the playoffs starting next week, which is insane.
TJ, what else? What's our game of the week, I guess I should ask first. I know it's not a big school this week, but tell us about the game of the week.
Yeah, we got some 3A battles. This is really a week where there probably could have been four or five game of the weeks. The slate's really good. The game of the week, though, we're going with Pratt versus Cheney, class of 3A. I believe it's District 7. Right there in District 7 is probably the best one you're going to find in Class 3A. There's Wichita Collegiate, 6-1, Pratt, 6-1, Cheney, 6-1. Playoffs start next week, so this is as big as it gets for seeding-wise. I think Pratt, if they win tonight, they get to host a home game for the first time in – I don't even know, 5 years, 10 years, something like that. It's been a long time, I can tell you that. Cheney coming off a loss to Collegiate, their first loss in about 20 games or whatever the number was. So both of a really big one for both of these guys. And while I'm talking about it, the other big 3A one, a couple of 3A undefeateds, and I think it's District 6, Andale and Heston. Andale 7-0, Heston also undefeated there as well. So the streak will get put to the test there again this year. Swarthmore can get it done against Andale tonight.
You know, I'm going to set this up for you, TJ, because Class 5A has some really interesting games. And not just one or two. They've got like four at least. I mean, you've got Andover Central and Andover. You've got Derby and Bishop Carroll. I find that fascinating for reasons other than both will have green jerseys. But Northwest and Goddard Eisenhower and Hutchinson and Mays South, there's some fascinating games in 5A. Where are we sitting with 5A right now?
Yeah, absolutely. As I was saying, this is one where everybody can have a game of the week, it seems like, because with the playoffs starting next week, every game is a big deal because of, you know, playoff seeding and then, you know, league championships are going on the line and everything other than that. As you said, we've had Andover Central. Andover is one that we kind of circled to be a really fun one that hasn't been that fun the past couple of years. Andover Central has been one of the best teams that in Class 4A, and Andover's had their struggles. This year, Andover's a pretty legit team. We expect them to win some playoff games. Andover Central is a team that has won some big ones. It could be a huge upset at Andover's field if Andover can get it done. I'm not sure. I'll have to do the research the last time that they were able to take down Andover Central. But the Battle of Andover is going to be a spicy one tonight for sure.
Yeah, that's where I was pointing. This Andover team, you know, that it's been a long time since they've played a game this big. You know they're fired up to do it. You know they're fired up for this game. And it has been a while, but you know, I'm not as involved in it anymore. But yeah, it's been Andover Central's game to lose for a long time. What do you think Andover's chances are in this game?
Yeah, you know, Andover's had tough games too. They've lost three games, but the three games they've lost have come to Capen, Goddard, and Eisenhower, which are all three really good teams. Yeah, Goddard's only lost one game as well. I think all of those teams are right there, 6-win, 7-win teams. Andover Central only has one loss, and it's to Goddard. So it really is. I mean, it's kind of a toss-up the way that I look at it. I think that Andover, they know what they do well. They run the ball really, really well the couple times that I've watched them. Andover Central just has so much talent. You know, we really looked at them as one of the best teams in the Wichita area. The loss to Goddard, you know, I think that in their eyes, they got upset a little bit with all the talent that they have. Andover, you know, as we're saying, rivalries can bring out the best. I think that I would call it, you know, if we're putting spreads on this, it's a single-digit spread.
Right now, who do you have as, I mean, if all the games were played and you were starting to work on who's the playoff matches next week, give me your, give me 6, 5, and 4A. Give me the top seed who you think they're going to be.
The top seeds who I think they're going to be?
Yeah.
Just speaking about the west side, at least, this is, I don't pay attention to these.
Right, that's what I meant, the west side,
near
yes.
Near as much.
Yes.
You know, Derby, I can't see Derby, you know, I was talking to, you know, Coach Wehrman at Cheney yesterday, who used to be on the Derby staff. I can't see Derby losing a game. They might get to Garden Regents at the final step and you know, maybe falter at that point, but I don't see it happen. I don't pay attention as much to what Garden Regents got going on. The Derby's the best team within a, you know, 50-mile radius of Wichita, but for sure, they're going to be the one seed, I imagine, unless some crazy stuff happens tonight at Bishop Carroll, which would be a huge upset in the city. You know, Great Bend still undefeated. I think that they're going to be the best team in Class 5A. They're probably going to go, you know, play the sweepstakes of who gets to play Mill Valley in the championship, I'm sure. And then in Class 4A right now, that's the one where there's not an undefeated in the West. You know, there's three teams that are 6-1, three teams that are 5-2, and it really is right there. You know, Mulvane is a team. We're going to be at that game tonight, Winfield and Mulvane. Mulvane 6-1, really having a great season down there. A win tonight, you know, they'd be right there at the top. There's no reason they couldn't be the one seed. So it would be huge for Mulvane. I'm sure that they're amped up to get some home playoff games over there as well.
And then we can end with Andale. They're, you know, they've been sort of the glamorous team. They didn't get it done last year, but it kind of feels like they're right back in there, right? They'd have to be the favorite in 3A, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I would imagine that they are. But as I said, I was talking to Coach Wehrman at Cheney yesterday, and this might be the deepest that Class 3A has been in quite a while. You know, last year, obviously, it was, you know, Andale and Cheney. Cheney got the best of it. Collegiate was a step behind those two. This year, you know, Collegiate beat Cheney, and, you know, Cheney might beat Pratt, and, you know, Pratt lost to Collegiate, and Andale beat Collegiate, and Heston's undefeated still. And it's really interesting of how this is going to play out, and it makes you wonder, you know, in Class 3A, too, they don't do the traditional bracket like 6A, 5A, 4A does. They do these by the districts.
That's right, right.
And that sets the seeding. So there's going to be weird matchups. You know, there's no reason that we could see, you know, Andale Collegiate could be the second week of the playoffs if the seeding works out that way.
It may be.
Off the rails.
It may be. That may be exactly how it works.
And that makes the 3As, you know, Andale's dominated it. And I know they didn't get it last year, but 3A's always been a fun classification for me because I feel like we've got so many good teams. All right, TJ, so – of course, catchitkansas.com. We'll have all the scores and everything else. What do you guys have lined up for coverage tonight?
Yeah, Brandon's going to be there at the game of the week out in Cheney hanging out. Peyton Sanders is going to be with him talking about some football weather. Says it should be a good one tonight. Says like 62 at kickoff.
Yeah.
Should be perfect. Hoodie watching a football game weather. He'll be live starting at 4:30 this afternoon, going live until our 12 News kickoff show here on 12 News Connected. Him and I talking about some of our favorite games, making our picks. what we expect. And as I said, I think all of the, you know, 8 or 9 or 10 games that we're getting, they're all great. So it should be really fun to catch a Kansas show tonight.
And 12 News Connected, TJ mentioned it. There is special coverage, in-depth coverage that comes later this afternoon on 12 News Connected. Paul will be out there with the East High Blue Aces. We love Friday Night Football. It's here. Last week of the regular season. And CatchItKansas.com has you covered. The Catch It Kansas show will air tonight at 10:35 over on the KSCW. TJ, we appreciate it. Good luck tonight. And, you know, watch the ACLs on the sideline always.
Absolutely. Paul, see you at South tonight.
You got it, big boy.
Oh, there you go. They're right there. That's where they'll be. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll get Paul's take on a few things. We'll have final thoughts on the Sunflower Showdown. World Series begins tonight as well. It's all coming for you. It's Sports Daily. It's all Brockton Savage the rest of the way. The IHOP hotline is back open, by the way. And it is brought to you by IHOP. Celebrate the weekdays with new IHOP house faves, all your favorites, for just $6 Monday through Friday. That hotline number is 869-1240. We got a lot of programming notes to get you through as well. A lot to cover here in the last half hour of the show. Stick with us. Hey, we've got the NFL here on KFH, Sunday Night Football. You can tune into 97.5 and 1240 KFH. 6:30 coverage begins for that Niners-Cowboys matchup. You can simply download the Odyssey app and search for KFH at game time as well. There's a lot of different programming things happening. Let's cover it here real quick. Regular programming all day today. And then on Saturday, it begins with 11:30 coverage of Butler and Hutch. Here we go. It's a top 15 matchup at Hutchinson, one of the big games of the week. That'll be right here on KFH. Again, that coverage begins at 11:30 for the huge rivalry game there. It's rivalry weekend because we also get the Sunflower Showdown. You'll hear the Wildcat Radio Network, K-State, with our buddy Wyatt Thompson. That coverage begins at 5 o'clock for the 7 o'clock kick. K-State at home, of course, against KU. Then on Sunday, Chiefs Raiders coverage begins at 2 o'clock over on the Chiefs Radio Network, which you find on KNSS. You'll get Shocker men's basketball taking on Emporia State. We have radio coverage of the exhibition game.
Cool.
That's on KEYN. That coverage begins at 5:30. And then you get Sunday Night Football right here, as we mentioned, on KFH. That coverage begins at 6:30. It is a busy weekend, Paul. We've got college basketball getting going this weekend. We have the World Series getting going tonight. Most eyes, though, are fixed on the Sunflower Showdown.
Mm-hmm.
And KU, who has positioned itself to make this, it would appear, a much more competitive game. Where did you end up picking, by the way? I took K-State to cover. Where did you end up picking on that?
I took K-State as well.
I do think this will be a very entertaining football game. I think KU might be outgunned a little bit. But if you could tell me right now, Paul, that Jalen Daniels looks as good as he looked last week. Really, if he's close to what he's been the last 2 weeks, I would say KU's got a good chance to make some noise here. We know they can run the ball. I just don't know if they can stop K-State on the other side of it. But this should be a wildly entertaining football game, I think.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think, when you look at K-State, what do you think of their defense? I mean, it's a good defense. Do they get pass rush? Yeah, they get some pretty good pass rush. What?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod. That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll Alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Can they disrupt a quarterback like a Jalen Daniels? Yes. K-State is capable. They have that kind of defense. I look at this mostly as the K-State defense against Jalen Daniels. I'm going to go with K-State's defense. I mean, granted, it was a decent game by KU last week. But, Jacob, this is a team that's got some problems, some innate problems. They're not just going to go away because you're playing your in-state rival. That's not going to happen this week.
I hear you on that. I think what I would be afraid of if I was a K-State fan is that what they've wanted to do defensively, which is, you know, stop the run of the opposing team and let teams throw a little bit, is going to be difficult to do against this team, right? Because KU, we know, you know, a lot of we've followed Jalen Daniels so closely because he played so poorly at the beginning of the year, and now he's beginning to look like Jalen Daniels. But the bread and butter of this football team are those two running backs, Devin Neal and Daniel Hyshaw. So even with Daniels looking better and the incredible talents they have at wide receiver, they want to run the ball, and K-State does not want them to run the ball. K-State would love, I think, for this to be Jalen Daniels throwing the ball 30 times in this game. So that, to me, becomes the big matchup to watch. If K-State early can establish that KU's not going to be effective on the ground, I think K-State will be just fine in this game.
Can I give you two things to look for? And that is the first one, you have said it very properly, and that is stop the run. Stop the run. K-State's got to stop the run. They stop the run. The next key to see is how much pressure is put on Jalen Daniels. Do they flush him out of the pocket? Do they make him move in the pocket? Do they get him out and throw on the run, throw out in space? Because sometimes he does well at that, sometimes he doesn't, but that's not where
he's done better at it lately, for sure.
He has, but part of that is practice, if you get my drift. But the point is that if you can get him out into space and make him throw on a run, it becomes a little more difficult for him. So that's one of the things to look for. How many times is Jalen Daniels made to leave the pocket? I think that'll be very interesting to see. And then the advantage will go to K-State because that's what they're going to want to do. So with that being said, you know, it's a two-edged sword, but all football games are two-edged swords. The number one priority for any college football team in America, Jacob, as you know, is number one, stop the run on defense. If you can stop the run on defense, you got a pretty good chance of winning a football game.
Well, and it's not just – it's been this way for K-State. This is why I love the over in this game, by the way. Still sitting around 55. I love the over because if K-State has this go the way they want it to, there's going to be a lot of points scored in this game because they do want teams to throw it. And if you're inviting a really – gifted quarterback when he's right with gifted receivers, the lots of opportunities to throw the ball, you're inviting lots of opportunities for big plays on offense, right?
Right.
But what K-State's been really good at this year and why this has been a sound strategy for them is because it does let them force havoc, right? Like, yeah, KU would probably score some points, but if you make them throw that much, you're also inviting the opportunity for drive-ending sacks, right? That's why... Right. You know, defensive linemen get paid so much money in the NFL.
That is
no matter how bad your defense is, if you sack the quarterback, that drive's probably over.
That's right.
And turnovers and interceptions. Mm-hmm. So if K-State's going to be this big opportunistic defense, which is when it's at its best, I think, that's why they want KU to throw it a ton. It's hard to turn KU over when they're just running the ball down your throat.
Right.
And that's been K-State's philosophy all year. Mm-hmm. West Virginia, before the quarterback went down, West Virginia was running the ball. That's when that game was a whole lot closer. It's when the quarterback had to leave the game, unfortunately, due to injury, and their run game stopped, that K-State was able to pull away and dominate that game.
Mm-hmm. Right. And from a betting standpoint, which we all anymore, we all have got to take a look at the betting aspect of this.
Well, sure.
And your bet for going over might be really good, because if you can get Jalen Daniels forced into throwing the ball because the run gets shut down, the game will last longer. There will be more plays. Dropped right. passes, yep. the clock yep. stop. Going out of bounds, you know, the clock stops most of the time.
That's a good point.
And so the game will be longer. There will be more plays. There will be more opportunities to score. So I like the way you're rationalizing that with regards to the betting aspect of this. The more passes thrown, the longer the game will be. The more plays, the more offensive plays will be run. There will be more of those with the clock stopping on passes. So I think you're making
easier
sense.
Easier said than done.
Well,
right?
That means K-State
does then easier have to stop one of the more dynamic backfields in college right. football. And on the other side of it, it's probably not all that different, right? KU's going to come into this game and not want DJ Giddens to kill them.
Right.
Now, I say that. West Virginia did the same thing. They slowed DJ Giddens down on the ground, and K-State crushed him because Avery Johnson showed everybody he can throw the ball. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, I think for a lot of people, Avery Johnson's this dynamic athlete, this great talent, and people think, oh, man, that dude can run. What we know after watching him play high school football and followed his recruitment, he's just as gifted a thrower as anybody in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's young, right? He's 19 years old. He's still learning the things that make you effective at that at the college level, mm-hmm. but he's getting better at it every single week.
Yeah.
Like defensively, I don't think KU's game plan is any different than K-State. They'll sell out to stop the run. We'll see. I don't know how much Avery Johnson's going to run the ball. He didn't run it at all against West Virginia. And remember, he's nursing whatever the injury was that happened against Colorado. So maybe they're inviting him to throw the ball too. And that's what I mean. That's why I like the over. I think both teams are going to get forced into throwing it quite a bit. I would imagine that we get a ton of big plays in this game. Like a ton of long touchdowns, if I had to guess at it. And so then, like, if we're looking at like the over for me, it's like, do I envision KU scoring 21 points in this game? Do they score 3 touchdowns? I would say yes, they do. And if they score 3 touchdowns, I think this game's getting over.
I think there's the chance there's going to be more than that, Jake.
I do too. I do too. Yeah, because okay. K-State's got a big test here. They've got a big test defensively. KU's offense, when it's going correctly, is going to be as good and balanced an offense as any team will face in the Big 12. Mm-hmm. They are beginning to click. You're beginning to see Jalen Daniels and Grimes find it as the play caller and the quarterback. What's really been unfortunate for KU is their defense has really let them down. But the offense is picking up that steam of what we thought this offense could be. And so, yeah, I would envision any time that KU plays football, they're going to be able to score a lot of points the rest of the way, the entire way through the rest of the season, because Jalen Daniels has figured it out with Grimes or whatever the reason is. He's playing much better. Their wide receivers are incredible. So they're going to score some points. I don't think they can stop K-State from scoring points.
Right. I think it's fascinating you bring up the University of Kansas defense. And that is because, you know, we thought it was going to be pretty good. We thought, well, if they're playing good, they're going to play good. And the first two or three games, you know, they had those moments. But the one thing that bothered me is that with the KU defense, somewhere on those early games, although they played well most of the game, they would have a quarter or they would have a drive. Remember against UNLV, I'll never forget watching that drive that lasted, I thought, like forever. I thought my whole Saturday was wasted. That drive took so long. 18 plays, 80 yards. It took forever. They had the ball almost 10 minutes of the quarter. And I'm talking about UNLV. Seems like it took forever. I've seen those moments with KU that I thought to myself, I'm not so sure that this is going to be a defense that everybody is going to be saying, oh, they're the strength of the team. And that was said in the first few games.
Yes, it was. I was saying it. They looked really good defensively the first few games.
But we saw indications that, well, not so fast, my friend. Yeah. Thank you, Lee Corso. But I don't know about this defense. I think it has some I mean, the University of Kansas has some problems on certain areas within their football program. They're figuring it out, but the problem is the season's getting over. I mean, come on, we're almost at the end of October. So.
I mean, the reason I took K-State in the biggest is because you're going into the Bill, and K-State's just been so dadgum good playing.
Yes.
I mean, that's if this game's not, you know, in Manhattan, then maybe, but that's feels a little too much for KU, but I do think we're going to get a good game. I can't wait for it. Again, coverage on the Wildcat Radio Network starts Saturday at 5 o'clock. So you'll be able to hear that right here on KFH. We'll come back. We'll wrap this thing up. It's been a fun Football Friday. Don't go anywhere.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.